there's a lot that I've learned over the last little while that I'm like, I am surprised I haven't been in more spam folders, because I've been doing all of these things, trying to stand out, not actually realizing the repercussions that they could have.
Hey, I'm Kylie Kelly, and I'm obsessed with all things business and motherhood and helping you navigate the messy and magical seasons of both. I'm a boy mama that grew a successful photo biz before hanging up my straps in 2020 to pivot. Yes, we're allowed to do that. Now I help other CEO mums just like you grow an audience of raving fans fast. But this podcast is way more than that. Think of it as your coffee date or happy hour with your girlfriends as we talk real life. Money, challenges, growth, frustrations, marketing, the messy middle, it's all welcome here. So get comfy and join us. Welcome to This Mama Means Business. I'm so glad you're here.
Hello, my loves, and welcome back to episode 143 of the podcast. Now, today we're going to be wrapping up a kind of three-part accidental series around email marketing, although this is not going to be the last time you hear me talk about it because I'm obsessed with this kind of marketing. But today I want to share the secret sauce to ensuring that your emails actually reach your audience. Yes, we're talking a lot about email deliverability. Now, if you haven't caught the last two episodes, I would go back to episode 141 and 142 and listen to those first, because I spoke in those about what I would do if I was growing my email list from zero today. And then I went on to talk about the best practices for your email list and what to send your subscribers. They lay the foundation for our email marketing efforts, right? But now I want to get really, really specific on how to actually land in our subscribers' inboxes so that they actually see the hard work that you're pouring into your email marketing efforts. Now, you might be thinking email deliverability, that sounds like a bit technical, but here's the thing, whether you're brand new in business or you are experienced, whether you're a small business owner or just starting out with your first email list, getting your emails seen and not lost in the dreaded spam folders is the most important part. It's crucial. Something that I think would be really supportive for you through this episode is I have an email marketing terminology and KPI guide. So if you are like, what do half of these things mean? Or if you want to know what the standards are when you're talking about open rates, click rates, unsubscribes, this freebie will be great for you. So I'll put the link in the show notes for that, but it's literally everything that you need to know when you're getting started with email marketing. I would love you to go and grab it before you dive into this episode. I would grab a notebook and pen and get ready, because you're in the right place to learn how to make each email actually land in the inbox. Let's jump on in. Okay, so high level view about email authentication, because you need to know about these changes. If you have an online business, I'm sure you would have heard about these already. There has been a lot of talk and a lot of buzz about them in the spaces that I'm in, because if you are not authenticated, if the interwebs don't know who is sending the emails through their email service provider, if you have not done the steps you need to authenticate your domain email, which as an example, mine is kyliekelly.com, right? So it's that domain email that needs to be authenticated. If you have not done this, come April 1st of this year. So if you're listening after the 1st of April, this has probably already happened and you're aware of this. If you're listening in real time, come April 1, there's a hard deadline that Google and Yahoo and Microsoft are going to start blocking emails that aren't authenticated. So that means that you won't get anywhere near anyone's inbox. So what does it mean to be authenticated? Now, this is where it gets a little bit gray, because every email service provider and domain host do things a little bit differently. The three things I want you to know about, so then you can go and Google them in relation to the software that you use, is the SPF, which is the Sender Policy Framework, DKIM, which is the Domain Keys Identified Mail, and DMARC, Domain-Based Message Authentication Reporting and Conformance. Now, you don't need to remember what these stand for. Honestly, I'm reading that right now. I don't remember what they stand for. But you just need to know that these three things are the most important thing to authenticate your emails. You need to have one SPF record on your domain. You need to have a DKIM for every piece of software that sends emails on your behalf. And then you need one DMARC policy as like the backup plan for your domain. If you don't know any of this, if this sounds like another language, that is okay. It did for me as well. But all I want you to think about right now is that these three things help verify that your domain is authorized to send emails to your list, right? It's kind of just like saying like, yes, they're legit. They're not some spammer. So by making these protocols, making this whole email authentication thing mandatory now, it's literally just going to be reducing the amount of spam that's out there in the interwebs, right? So it's really important that you properly configure these settings so it improves your deliverability, so you don't end up in the spam folder or blocked, even worse, in Google jail, right? It's going to help establish that you're a legitimate business sending legitimate emails. Now, this sounds so technical, and honestly, I was dealing with this with all of my members in the Spotlight Club. There's almost 200. I was helping them all through January and February. The first time Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft came out with these changes and making it mandatory, they said that there was a February 1st deadline. So you can imagine it was like frantic city. So I was helping all of my clubbers get all of this sorted, and we did really, really well. But then Google, Yahoo, and Microsoft moved the finish line. They moved it to April 1, which means we do have a little bit more time now, which is fantastic. So if you have not done this, if you're like, I have no idea what the heck you're talking about, quietly, like, what is this? This is really important. If you send emails on behalf of your business, if you have an email list that you communicate with, you need to make sure that your email is authenticated. So all I would be doing is Googling the email service provider that you use, the domain host that you use, how do you authenticate emails for ConvertKit on GoDaddy, right? As an example. Now, these three things that I mentioned before, the SPF, the DKIM, and the DMARC, all they are is records that you add to your own server on your domain. It's called the DNS. So for, as an example, my domain, KylieKelly.com, is actually hosted through Squarespace. So what I had to do was get my SPF record, my DKIM and my DMARC records, log into Squarespace, access my DNS, which is like the server, and add the records, copy and paste the records that I was given onto Squarespace in my DNS, and I was good to go. So although it sounds super technical and really hard, and it's like, I just want to put my head in the sand and not even think about this, it's not that hard when you can follow the step by step. So sit down, make a list of any software that sends emails on your behalf. So you might have like a Google Workspace, like I do. You might have your email service provider. So ConvertKit, MailerLite, Flowdesk, ActiveCampaign. There's a stack of them, right? You'll have an email service provider. You might have things like Shopify or apps that Bonjoro or apps that send emails, even course emails to people on your behalf. The main thing is that it's coming from your domain email. So when you look at the email that they're sending, is it coming from your at KylieKelly.com or is it coming from help at Bonjoro or whatever, right? So like just have a look to make sure that it's coming on behalf of your domain. If it is, you're responsible with that, and that needs to be authenticated so that those emails get delivered. So heavy one for number one, and I apologize, but it is very important. So make sure you are sorted out with your SPF, your DKIM, and your DMARC. There is actually a tool online. If you're not sure, if you're like, I think I am, but I want to check. Anything I talk about today, I'll put the links in the show notes of the episode, but there is actually a tool called the MX Toolbox where you can put in your domain, click on email health, and it'll give you a rundown. It will check blacklists. It'll give you any errors. It's a really good place to like look and see if there's anything that you think could be a problem. And then you can always reach out to your email service provider, your domain host, and figure it out from there. So again, number one, really important when we're talking about deliverability is to make sure that your emails are authenticated. If you have questions, as I said, hit reply, send me an email at hello@kyliekelly.com or hit me up on Instagram in my DMs. I'm here to help as much as I can. If you are in the Spotlight Club, we did a bonus training with Cheryl Rerick, and she is like the email deliverability queen with all of this stuff. So if you're in the Spotlight Club, log in and watch that training. If you're not in the Spotlight Club, Cheryl actually did email deliverability unbox series where I learned all of this from. So what I will do, I'll put my affiliate link in the show notes below. So if you want to go and dive in deeper, she has so much support and so many tools. And if you need more help, she'll be a great place to go. Are you ready to move on? That was a lot, I know. Number two, I want to talk to you about cleaning your email list regularly. Now you'll notice a lot of this stuff, there are no rules, right? There's nothing black and white with any of this. It all comes back to what feels good for you. So what I want you to think about is how often do you remove cold subscribers? Now cold subscribers are people that aren't engaged. They're not opening, they're not clicking. They're just kind of sitting there on your list doing nothing. They don't need to be there. How often are you actually cleaning them out, removing them? Why this is important is because regular list cleaning helps maintain a high engagement rate, which actually tells your email service provider and the internet gods that, oh God, she sends really great emails. Like her list love to hear from her. So let's make sure we deliver them properly, right? So again, it's going to help you to deliverability. You're going to see all your open rates, your click rates, everything's going to go up if you have an email list that's fully engaged. So to do that, we want to make sure that we are removing anyone that's not engaged. Now, everyone has their own way of doing this. Some people will send like re-engagement campaigns. So I'll send emails out to those people to try to get them to engage again so they can stay on the list. I don't bother. I have a very minimal amount of time, working school hours. I need to focus on big problems, right? Not little ones. I feel like as a solopreneur, we need to be focusing on like $10,000 problems, not 10 cent problems. That's what I feel about this. This is like a 10 cent problem. If I had a lot more time, maybe I would worry about people that had already gone cold, but I just don't have it. So I just delete them. How that looks for me in ConvertKit, which is the email service provider that I use, is there's actually a drop down in their main subscriber menu where you can select cold subscribers. So that's going to bring up anyone that hasn't opened or clicked an email in 30 days. So what I choose to do is I have a reminder on the first of every month to go in and remove the cold subscribers. It's something that I've gotten into the habit of. I just go in, select them, delete, and be done with it. And that keeps my open rates at about 55-60% and my click rate at about 4%. So great stats when you're talking about email marketing. So that's how I choose to do it. I just delete them and I move on with my day. You can do it in a different way. If that doesn't feel safe for you, if you're like, oh, that's a bit scary, make it 60 days, make it 90 days. There is data that suggests that if they haven't engaged in 30 days, the likelihood that they're going to engage again is really slim. So don't overthink it. Don't waste too much time on it, but make sure you have a process where you're removing those cold subscribers regularly, once a month, once every 2 months. That's going to make sure that your email deliverability is as good as it can be. Your click rates, your open rates, everything stays really high, and you have this engaged, warm list that actually wants to hear from you. Now, number three is a little bit of a no-brainer, but I want you to make sure you're personalizing the email content. Okay, so not just the subject line. So you would have seen and gotten emails where it's like, Kylie, have you seen this? Or they're putting the first name in the subject line. You can certainly do that to stand out in the inbox. But I also want you to be personalizing the content. So if you can personalize the content by using their first name, by sending it to a specific segment, if you can tailor the content according to their interests and what they've done before, what they want to hear about, using their first name, things like that, it's going to have, again, a higher engagement rate, which means that the internet gods are going to be like, oh, yep, let's get this to the inbox. They want to hear from her. So make sure you're personalizing the email content where you can. Number four I wanted to talk to you about was spam triggers. Now, this is a big one because there's a lot that I've learned over the last little while that I'm like, I am surprised I haven't been in more spam folders because I've been doing all of these things, trying to stand out, not actually realizing the repercussions that they could have. Let's run through exactly what these spam triggers are, keeping in mind that I want you to also be focusing on everything else we talked about. I want you to authenticate your email, be sending great emails out, be engaging your list, be removing cold subscribers, and then thinking about this when it comes to the weekly emails that you are sending. Remember last week we talked about sending emails at least once a week. That's what I want you to be aiming for, and that's what I want you to be doing. So let's run through these. So the first one I wanted to mention was the language that you're using. So in your subject line specifically, try to avoid using sales-based words like buy now, free, guarantee, using too many capital letters, too many exclamation points. That type of language will indicate to the internet gods saying like, this sounds a bit dodgy. Now, the way that I like to think about this when it comes to language for your emails is like, would you say this to a person? Well, I probably wouldn't sit with you over a cup of coffee and say, free bundle, grab it now, exclamation point. You know, I wouldn't do that, would I? Because that would be weird and you would leave pretty damn quickly. So think about when you're sitting with your friend, how do you talk? That little test is going to do really well when it comes to evaluating whether or not the language you're using in your emails and your subject line is that of a human. Think about your language carefully. Number two is a high image to text ratio. So emails that contain too many images and not enough text could trigger spam filters. In the same vein, if you're uploading an image and it's a massive file, so if you haven't scaled it down using Canva, or if it's not like a smaller graphic, if it's like a big professional image, that can also trigger the spam folders. So just think about how you're using images in your emails. I'm not saying don't use images. I use them all the time. I'll probably put an image in most of my emails, especially if I'm promoting something or I want to share something. I love sharing images. I used to be a photographer. Like, I love images. But just do it mindfully. One image per email. Make sure it's small. Make sure it's like left aligned. It doesn't stand out. It's just make sure that it feels right. The next one I want to talk about was misleading subject lines. This is like a clickbaity subject lines. Now, of course, we want to spark curiosity, right? The best subject lines make us curious because then we open and then we read and then that's their job done. But we don't want it to be too clickbaity. So make sure you're using subject lines that aren't deceptive, that aren't misleading, that they actually reflect the content of the email. So when we talk about this, it's more if it's just an email subject line that you know will be opened, but the email has nothing to do with it, right? So make sure that it really relates to the content of the email. I actually do have a guide of 120 subject lines that I've used in the past that have gotten really great results. If you would like a copy of that guide, I'll put the link to that in the show notes as well. But that would be really helpful. If you get really stuck with subject lines, grab that guide because you'll be able to just look at what the intention of the email is, and then you'll be able to pull a subject line and personalize it and it'll be perfect and good to go. So I'll put the link to that guide to the sign up. It's a free resource in the show notes below. The next one I wanted to mention was using shortened URLs. So spammers frequently use URL shortening services to make sure that they kind of disguise their malicious content links, right? So even Bitly, I've had plenty of Bitly links come in that are spam links, right? So just be careful that if you are using shortened URLs, try to use them through your domain. So for me, maybe kyliekelly.com/email and it redirects somewhere, right? It would be a good URL to use instead of a bit.ly, like a bit.ly/email. That might be spammy. Just make sure when you're using shortened URLs, if you can use your domain, use it. You're paying for it for a reason. Try to use it as much as you can and just be really careful if you are shortening them. In an email campaign, I think the best practice is just to hyperlink a sentence and link it to the long link, right? Just to, or even just put a click here to find out more and hyperlink the click here to find out more to the original link. Things like that are way easier in email. You don't need to use a shortened URL. The shortened URL piece really comes into play for things like this. If I was sending you somewhere, if I had a kyliekelly.com/email, it'd be really easy for you to remember, right? Rather than giving you some big long link. So I think when it comes to email marketing, just use the long link. Just hyperlink the text in the email so that it goes to the right place, or use a button or whatever. You don't need to use a shortened URL. Okay, and we have two more. So I mentioned this before, but excessive use of caps and exclamation points. So using all caps or too many exclamation points, especially in the subject line, can trigger spam filters. So again, they are normally associated with spammy or aggressive marketing messages. And I know if you're like me, you're probably just damn excited. So that's why you're using a lot of exclamation points. Just try to refrain a little bit. You can definitely use one or two. Please be yourself. Talk like you would talk. If you're excited, use an exclamation point. But just be mindful that you're not excessively using either of those things. And lastly, I know I've banged on about this, but the lack of engagement. So over time, if your emails consistently receive low engagement rates, so low open and click rates, it can signal to providers that your content is not valued by your email list. And that, again, increases the chances of being filtered as spam. So let's focus on what you're sending. Don't just send an email to send an email, right? Focus on what value you're actually giving to those people that are on your list. Make sure that you are encouraging them to reply and to click and over delivering in everything that you do. Keep those engagement rates up, clean the list regularly, and then following those little tips about personalization and avoiding the spam filters, you're going to be creating this beautiful relationship with your email list that is then going to benefit your business as you do launch, as you do then nurture and sell to them. So I hope you found that really helpful. Any resource that I've mentioned today, again, is linked into the show notes. If you want an action list of this broken down really easily to follow, head over to the show notes because I have written out a blog post with the action steps at the bottom so you can just work through them. Don't be overwhelmed, do one at a time, and I know that your email list is going to be healthier than ever because you've poured this love and time and attention into it. I love you loads. I'm cheering you on. I know you've got this. If you have any questions, if you need any support, please do not hesitate to reach out. Either send me a DM on Instagram or email me at hello@kyliekelly.com and I'm here for anything that you need. All right, that's all from me for now. I will see you again next week. Thank you again for being here. I pour my heart and soul into this podcast, recording and editing them all myself. So there is a really simple way you could return the favor. If you would leave me a review, head on over to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts and let me know how I'm doing. Leave me a few words that let me know what content you like best or what you might like to hear in the future. I create this for you, so I would appreciate that so very much.